This is All In. I'm Matt Pelzer. A few weeks ago, we did a show on spring in Indiana's state parks, which got a lot of positive feedback. So we thought we'd expand that conversation to the other natural areas of the state that perhaps don't get as much attention. Nature preserves. Now, part of the reason they don't get as much attention is somewhat by design. Many of the people who manage and care for nature preserves are very mindful of the fact that increased visitation can mean that they risk being loved to death. Many nature preserves don't have the infrastructure and amenities that state parks have, so potential visitors should be mindful of that. That said, this time of year is a great time to see what Indiana's nature preserves have to offer. We're joined today by the executive director of the Central Indiana Land Trust, Cliff Chapman. Hi, Cliff.
Hi, Matt. Good afternoon.
And we also have the director of the Indiana DNR Division of Nature Preserves, Ron Helmick. Good afternoon, Ron. And his predecessor, John Bacone, who currently sits on the board of the Central Indiana Land Trust. Thanks for your time, John.
Good afternoon, Matt.
And we are live today, so if you have questions or comments for our panel today, let us know. If you have a favorite Indiana nature preserve, we'd love to hear from you. Find us on Facebook or Twitter at All In Indiana. You can also leave us a voicemail. Call us at 866-476-3881. Just give your name, where you're calling from, and a quick question or comment, and we will do our best to get it into the conversation today. Again, that's 866-476-3881. Cliff, can you start by explaining what the Central Indiana Land Trust is?
Sure. The Central Indiana Land Trust is a private, not-for-profit organization, and we're mission-driven, and our mission being to protect the greatest natural areas that remain in the central third of Indiana. So land trusts across the state do work differently. Some land trusts have more of a focus on preserving farmland, and other land trusts might have more of a focus on preserving sites for recreational uses. In our case, we definitely have some recreational opportunities on some of our properties, but it's not our focus. It's saving just these great examples of what Indiana might have looked like 200 years ago.
And you have a few preserves. You have several that are open to the public, some that have limited visitation and some that do not allow visitation. What's the intent there behind that?
Sure. So we have these three kind of classifications. And so starting with the ones that are just closed to the public, it's usually one of two things. So we own a heron rookery. So a rookery is a fancy term for a place where great blue herons nest or other types of birds like that might nest. And they're community nesters. And so sometimes you might have 15 heron nests in a rookery, sometimes 50. The one that we own and manage down just inside Johnson County on the White River, at one time there were over 500 nests found there. And so because the herons, we don't want them flying off and leaving their eggs, we don't allow visitation to that site. And plus, it's about a mile and a half from the nearest road, so it's kind of, you drive back on these farm lanes to get to it for monitoring. So the other reason why preserves might not be open to the public in our case, besides like just the sensitivity of the site, is just maybe we don't have great access, or the access is difficult. Maybe we protected a site for really important natural features, but we're still kind of working on getting enough access for the public to be able to walk to it. Maybe it's not right on a public road. And that's a lot of our limited access is a similar situation that maybe we are going to get a parking lot and trail there, but we don't yet. And so maybe you can pull off a road and just explore the site without a trail. We have several sites like that, and the state and other land trusts do as well. And then fully open is a parking lot and trail. That's open dawn to dusk.
John, can you tell me how you got involved with the Central Indiana Land Trust?
Yes, I just retired from working for my career with the Division of Nature Preserves in the DNR, and a number of Central Indiana Land Trust projects are dedicated nature preserves, and sometimes we partnered with them on funding through the Indiana Heritage Trust or similar programs, so I was very familiar with and visit many of them often. And so when I retired and had a little time, I was happy to volunteer to be on the board and help them to continue to do the important work that they're doing.
So, John, when did you retire as director of Nature Preserves?
Just a little over a year ago, in February of 2019.
And, Ron, are you with us? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say I've been with the Division of Nature Preserves since 1977. So,
wow.
I went by quickly, and finally it was over.
Ron, are you with us? All right, we're going to have to leave Ron out for this segment, it seems like. Cliff, I want to start with the story of Meltzer Woods, which you say is your favorite preserve, because I think it illustrates not only the idea behind nature preserves, but it also their importance and the kind of long journey it can be to establish them. First of all, where is Meltzer Woods?
Yeah, thanks. Meltzer Woods is in Shelby County. It's about a mile east of I-74. So it's actually, for folks that live in the Indianapolis metro area, it's pretty easy to get to. It just has such an interesting story, and I don't know how much time we have to go through it, but it was noted by professors from Butler University of something that should be protected or conserved somehow as a nature preserve back in the 1940s. And that was before, the Nature Conservancy was formed, which is like a global land trust, before the DNR was even the DNR. It was called the Department of Conservation, and there was no Division of Nature Preserves at the time. So it had a lot of attention on it for a long, long time because it's an old-growth forest. And so as time went on, the family continued to protect the giant trees there, the old-growth trees, even though they had many, many offers to sell for a premium price, particularly after World War II, when veneer prices were really high. But as time went by, they continued to do whatever they could to hold it privately and keep it conserved. It was one of the state's first classified forests, which is a program through the Division of Forestry, or I don't even know what it was called when it started, but it was one of the first 10, I think, classified in the state in the 1920s. It became a registry site, which was a program administered by the Division of Nature Preserves and the Nature Conservancy. It became a national landmark, so it actually has a status with the National Park Service of being a national natural landmark, and that was done in 1973. And then I started working on the protection of it when I worked for John Bacone with the Division of Nature Preserves back in 1999. And 15 years later, while working for Central Indiana Land Trust, we were able to purchase it. So it was just an amazing site.
There are a lot of definitions out there as to what an old growth forest is. What's your best one?
For me, in this particular site, there has never been a living tree cut. So it is near what you'd call a virgin forest, but it's not, because as trees died or trees fell over, the family might have used some of that wood for firewood. But old growth forests usually have not had a tree cut in about 150 years, and they really kind of harken back to what we think a lot of Indiana might have looked like when the first settlers came.
And when we look at Meltzer Woods, say, on a satellite view or something like that, it looks pretty small and fairly insignificant. But it has this long and storied history and an involvement with the family and the family wanting to protect it as well. And you have some accountability living right next door with regard to Meltzer Woods. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, sure. So the first time I met the person who we ended up purchasing the land from, Phil Meltzer, who's still around. He's 93, I believe, now. The first time I met him, he said that he wanted the forest to be a nature preserve someday, but he had two older sisters, and he was a little afraid of them. And he was afraid that if he sold to whomever to make it a nature preserve, they might not like it. And so he told me one sister lived right down the road, and he had another sister who lived in Carmel, Indiana. And so through the years, and I worked with him, I left Indiana for 2 years in between jobs, but I came back. He was one of the first people I contacted with the land trust. And still he talked about his two sisters and his one sister in Carmel. And so as time marched on, my wife and I wanted to start a family, and we looked at a lot of neighborhoods and schools and things like that. And we bought a house. And my neighbor, I can look at her house right now. My neighbor is Bill Meltzer's oldest sister, and she still lives there. She's 95 years old.
Wow. And so she's making sure that that the property is protected in a way.
That's right. I can't mess anything up there because her daughter lives next door to her. So I have, in fact, and there's another granddaughter there. So three generations of Meltzers across the street from me. So we have to keep everything just right there.
We are having some technical problems with getting Ron Helmick connected to us. So, John, I'll ask you a question that I was intending for Ron. But after all, you did hold Ron's position for 40 some years. What did that position entail?
Well, it was kind of a full suite of things, including trying to inventory, define natural areas, helping manage the database that tracks all the information on the rare species in the natural areas, trying to acquire them or by working with partners or sometimes directly with the state. And then we have a staff of regional ecologists scattered around the state that take care of them. So it was kind of a little bit of everything from administrative to scientific and field work.
So I'm going to ask you the big question. We only have about a minute and a half left in this segment, which I think is enough time. But I think I and our listeners probably have a pretty good idea of what a nature preserve is. But to the best of your ability, can you describe what a nature preserve is supposed to be and how it differs from, say, a state park or a state forest?
Sure. It's intended to be a piece of what we call the original Indiana. That's the Indiana that was here when the Native Americans and the first settlers were here. And if one of them came back today and you put them out in the street at Glendale Mall, they wouldn't know what the heck it was. But if you put them in a nature preserve, they would know the plants and animals. That was what they were familiar with. And so the nature preserve tries to get all the representative examples of what Indiana was like, cypress swamps, prairies, savannas, old-growth forests, and protect them in the nature preserve system. And by dedicating as a nature preserve, it's the highest level of legal protection a property can have in the state. It's more well-protected legally than a state park or anything else, because to take it away once it's dedicated requires a public hearing, concurrence by the Natural Resources Commission and by the governor before a nature preserve can be taken for another use. And the law says that use can only be an imperative, unavoidable public necessity.
All right. We are talking about Indiana's nature preserves today. If you have a favorite preserve for spring wildflowers or unique ecology or geology, find us on Facebook or Twitter at All in Indiana, and we'll get it into the conversation today. I'm Matt Pelser. We're back in 90 seconds. This is All In. All In. I'm Matt Pelser. Today we're marking the middle of spring by talking about Indiana's many nature preserves. We're joined by Cliff Chapman, Executive Director of the Central Indiana Land Trust. Also, John Bacone, who held the position of Director of the Indiana DNR Division of Nature Preserves for 40 years. And we're also talking to the current director, Ron Helmick, who is joining us by phone. And we would love your questions and comments on the topic. Which nature preserves do you like to visit and why? Whether it's wildflowers, birds, or just solitude, we would love to hear from you. Find us on Facebook and Twitter at All In Indiana, or you can leave us a voicemail, including your first name and where you're calling from, to 866-476-3881. Craig from Twitter asks, can the panel speak to how important forestry is to climate change and how the Central Indiana Land Trust is helping? Cliff, do you want to take that one?
Well, sure. I think something that has been in the news a little bit lately, and the governor included it in his State of the State address earlier this year, was that we are embarking on planting a million trees in Central Indiana, and the governor has announced that the state of Indiana is going to plant an additional million trees across the state. And it's going to take us a little bit longer because we have to actually buy the land before we can plant it to trees. But it would be a conversion of open land or farmland back to forest. And we have next week we're going to be planting our first of a million trees in a really funky shaped field at our Glacier's End Nature Preserve. So this is an example of a property that we purchased we own and manage. The state of Indiana assisted with the purchase with funds from the environmental license plate and also with the Bicentennial Nature Trust. And so the state of Indiana has an interest in the property as it's a part of the state nature preserve system. But when we bought it, it has these really skinny fields that follow some ridge lines. And so it creates edge effect, which is really negative for a lot of the rare and endangered species that we protected at that site. So we're going to plant all the open fields there to forest, which is going to really help this, the health of the existing forest. But also every single tree we plant does help with climate change mitigation because of the sequester carbon. And so it's not the only solution. You know, we can't plant our trees, can't plant trees to get ourselves out of climate change, but it is an important part of the solution to mitigate the effects of climate change.
Yeah, when I heard about this Million Trees initiative, I thought, where are they going to put them? Because nature preserves typically, in Indiana anyway, are already forested. And so what kind of a challenge did that bring?
Well, and going back to an earlier comment that you made, Matt, that if you look from a satellite photo, our Meltzer Woods Preserve looks like, you know, pretty much any other farm, you know, woods on a farm. The old growth forest there is 48 acres. We purchased 60 and we've already planted 12 acres of trees, and we are negotiating right now with a neighboring landowner to maybe get another 35 acres of open land that we would plant to trees. And you just kind of rinse and repeat. And we'd like to make that site go from 60 acres that we started with to at least 650 acres. And so it's going to take a lot of time, money, and trees.
Well, what's the protocol, I guess, for planting something like this? Do you try to space them out? Are you careful on the species diversity? What goes into it?
Certainly. We plant species that kind of mirror what's already on site. We also, because of this kind of term that's being punted around a lot now called climate change resiliency, we're also looking at, when we need to make a choice, we don't want to plant something that might be present in the woods adjacent to where we're planting that's at its southern limit of its range. But something, maybe that there's another species that's already on site, but it's at its northern limit, we might choose to plant that instead, just because we know as the climate is changing, things are going to continue to get a little bit warmer, and some of those southern species are going to be more comfortable, and they're going to win out over time. And the species that are Indiana is this incredible crossroads. We have amazing biodiversity. From trees to everything else, butterflies, birds, what you name it. So we do want to favor a little bit of the species that we think are going to make it for the next 200, 300, 400 years, because the trees we're planting can live 400 or 500 years.
Ron, do we have you?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
All right, great. Well, our apologies for the technical mix-up in getting you on. We're so glad to have you. Ron, I want you to respond to this Twitter question from Chad. What does it take for land to be deemed a state preserve, and is there a need for more in Indiana?
Well, it's always we always have a need for more places to be nature reserves. But really what we're looking at is what John said earlier, places that would are now like what would have been in pre-settlement times. And we have our ecologists who will go out and take a look at the different places and to see how they shape up according to the to that. If it's a wetland or a forest or a prairie, we're looking at are the ecological conditions there? Are the species there that we expect to be there? Are there rare species there? And is it large enough to be a viable place to protect those species in that community, natural community, in perpetuity?
And Ron, I want to get into a little more history before we bring it to the present. We just heard a lot about Meltzer Woods, but sure. Every preserve has a story. What's one that sticks out for you, whether it's how it was acquired, why it was acquired, or anything else perhaps?
Well, one, I was just out to a couple weeks ago, Stout Woods, out in Henry County. It was owned by Purdue University, and it had been used as a study area for Purdue University students for years and years and years. It came to Purdue from a family out in, or that owned it, the Stout family. And so they donated it to Purdue for, educational endeavors. And Purdue recognized the value of it, and so it became a nature reserve. And now they're working with the Red Tail Conservancy out in Muncie to help them manage the property out there.
We are talking about Indiana's nature preserves with the director of the Indiana DNR Division of Nature Preserves, Ron Helmick. John Bacone is with us as well. He is Ron's predecessor. He currently sits on the board of the Central Indiana Land Trust. And we have the executive director of the Central Indiana Land Trust, Cliff Chapman, on talking with us. And we are live today, so we're taking your questions or comments to Facebook or Twitter at All in Indiana. Or you can leave us a voicemail like a listener named Steve did to 866-476-3881. Let's hear Steve. Steve is in Kirkland.
My wife and I have been exploring the different nature preserves around Indiana. We've lived here almost all of our lives. And we found a really cool one called Portland Arches, which is over by Attica, Indiana, and it's absolutely beautiful. So I'm really excited about your show today. Thank you.
Thanks to you, Steve, and Portland Arch was definitely on our list today. John, what is it about Portland Arch that's just so wonderful?
Well, I'm glad Steve brought that up. That's one of my favorite preserves as well. You know, in one respect, it's sort of like a small state park without the million plus visitors a year. You can find huge cliffs, a really high quality stream that goes through it. There's a remnant population of white pines. It's right near the Wabash River. It has remnant old growth woods, oak hickory forests. It's got a history too, because it's right next to the Wabash Erie Canal. So there's a pioneer cemetery down the road where some of the old workers that worked on it are. You can go there and get away and hike a couple of trails there and feel like you're really by yourself. It's just such a beautiful place. And one more thing that's interesting about it is an example Cliff was talking about, how long it takes to maybe try to cobble together a nature preserve, get willing sellers and so on. There's Portland Arch has been acquired over the years from a number of different owners. And in fact, there's still a piece that we've hoped to get for over 50 years that's still privately owned and someday may get acquired. Anyway, the owners know that this is protected in perpetuity, and it's in a salute almost to their family for their legacy that they've preserved as well.
John, I've also heard Portland Arch mentioned among some of the great places in the state to see spring wildflowers, particularly early spring wildflowers. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, there's quite a nice, healthy population there. We've been conducting prescribed burns there on some of the drier forests, too, which has helped keep it open. So actually, you can see some really beautiful, typical spring wildflowers, but also because it's far west in the state and has a little bit more of a prairie element to it, you can also find some species that are not quite as typical in the rich beech maple forests of central Indiana. So and even in the summer, you'll see fire pinks later spring and other things that normally have blinked out in some of our more mesic forests are still healthy populations there.
Ron, what about the geology of Portland Arch? What's special about that?
Well, just as in the name implies, there is an arch right along the trail that a stream has cut through the bedrock, cliff bedrock, and so you can go see the arch, and kind of a it's an amazing thing for
Indiana to have a geological feature like that.
And we have another voicemail from a listener. This one is from Karen with a few of her favorite nature preserves. Let's listen.
Three of my favorite nature preserves are Winghaven and Woodland Bog in Steuben County. They have fabulous wildlife habitat for birds, and wildflowers are wonderful. And also the Thomas and Jane Dustin Nature Preserve in Allen County, just 8 miles north of Fort Wayne near Huntertown. And it's on the cliff escarpment above Cedar Creek, which is one of our very few state recreational rivers.
Does that one ring a bell for anybody? Thanks to you, Karen.
Yes, Winghaven especially is interesting. It's another name for it. Used to be called Seven Sisters. It's a chain of seven lakes that's kind of immediately east of Pokagon State Park, between Acres Land Trust and the state of Indiana. Most of it is now in protected status as a nature preserve. There you can canoe through a series of lakes, and can't quite get into Pokagon State Park by canoe from the Seven Sisters, but it's right across the road. It's a really special, the northeast part of the state is the part of the state that reflects a lot of the old past glaciation. So there's some really wonderful lakes, canes, eskers, glacial features like that, bogs and fens protected in that part of the state of Indiana, especially in Steuben County.
Ron, anything to add?
Yeah, those preserves are owned by the Acres Land Trust, and they have been such an influential group for nature preserves up in northeastern Indiana. In fact, one of their original members, Jim Barrett, was the author of the Indiana's Nature Preserve Act back in 1967.
And Cliff, there's another name that kept popping up when I was looking into all this, the late Alton Lindsay. Who was he?
So, yeah, Alton Lindsay's a legend in Indiana conservation. He was a professor at Purdue University. And John can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think a lot of his PhD work when he was studying was actually down in Antarctica. And there's actually a group of islands that are now called the Lindsay Islands. So he did a lot of great work through his career. But a legacy that he left us were some books that were published in 67 and 69. And in 1969, he put together Natural Areas of Indiana. And it was a guide for the first generation of kind of the DNR ecologists and conservationists to go out across the state and find these places that they left the roadmap for and start working with the landowners. And a lot of our earliest nature preserves in the state are in that book. And there's also a lot of sites in the book that are still not protected. And there's still people across the state working with those families to try to acquire them. And maybe some of those can be open to the public someday, either owned by the state or maybe a local land trust.
Are you comfortable sharing any examples?
I think there's just a great example, and plus being spring, it's one of my favorite spring wildflower spots to go to, especially if you want to go to a place and maybe not see another person, but just see carpets of wildflowers. In the book, I believe it's called Weaver Woods, and it's an early nature preserve that was originally protected by the Nature Conservancy and then given to the state DNR, Division of Nature Preserves, in 1973. And it's called Schrader Weaver Nature Preserve. It's in Fayette County, north of Connersville. And it is just an unbelievable site. It's an old growth forest. And to me, the best wildflower, spring wildflower display in the state of Indiana, if not the Midwest.
John, Alton Lindsay's book led to the creation of one of my favorite Indiana nature preserves, Pine Hills in Montgomery County. It's adjacent to Shade State Park. What's special about Pine Hills Nature Preserve?
Well, Pine Hills, actually, there's quite a bit that's special about it. It has a geologic features, they call them incised meanders or backbones. It has four backbones, whereas as the glaciers were melting, years and years and years ago that cut through the bedrock. And so when you go into Pine Hills, you walk in on one of the backbones, and then you can eventually get up on what they call the Devil's Backbone and walk right across this backbone, which is you're maybe about 100 feet high. It's about as wide as a city sidewalk. It's a little scary up there on top. And look down at the tops of the trees. So it has those geologic features. It also has populations of plants they call relic plants, remnants from the old days when the glaciers were here and the climate was different and the vegetation was different. It has populations of white pine, hemlock, and Canada yew, which are more typical of the northern hardwood forests, still protected there as well. And it was the very first Nature Conservancy project in the state of Indiana. They bought it before there was a Division of Nature Preserves, and that became the first Indiana-dedicated nature preserve. And Cliff mentioned the National Natural Landmarks. It's also a National Natural Landmark, which is for places that have national significance but are too small to be national monuments or national parks. So it's quite a special place.
There is plenty more left to cover today. We are talking about Indiana nature preserves and why they're important. There's still time to share your thoughts. Send your questions or comments to our panel through Facebook or Twitter at All in Indiana, or you can leave us a voicemail at 866-476-3881. We'd love to hear from you this hour. I'm Matt Pelser, back in 90 seconds. This is All In. This is All In. I'm Matt Pelser. Today we're talking about Indiana's nature preserves with Executive Director of the Central Indiana Land Trust, Cliff Chapman, Ron Helmick, Director of the Indiana DNR Division of Nature Preserves, and John Bacone, former DNR Director of Nature Preserves and board member of the Central Indiana Land Trust. And we would love to hear from you before the end of the hour. Find us on Facebook or Twitter at All In Indiana, or you can leave us a voicemail, including your first name and where you're calling from, to 866-476-3881. And we do have a lot of listener engagement to get to before we are through this hour. And when we left off, we were talking about Pine Hills. Ron, if Pine Hills was Indiana's first nature preserve, what was the journey like, I guess, to get to that point where we now have this thing called a nature preserve and we've defined the idea behind it? To the best of your knowledge, what were things like, I guess, before that? Were there places like this in Indiana that were viewed as threatened in any way?
Yes. I mentioned the Acres Land Trust earlier, and they had started up in, they actually were trying to start in Allen County, but their first project, I believe, was not in Allen County, but it was still in northeastern Indiana. And so it was just a group of people who were getting together saying, hey, these places are being lost, and so we need to do something about it. And so they formed their group to start trying to protect, buy and protect the areas that they knew about. And it's the same for a lot of the other land trusts throughout the state. It's a lot of times it's just a group of concerned citizens in a particular area getting together and say, hey, we need to do something about that. Central Indiana Land Trust did the same. The Sycamore Land Trust down in Bloomington back in the late 80s and 90s. But the Acres Land Trust is, and the Nature Conservancy is the ones that really pushed to have a state system into place backed by a state law. So their foresight in getting that done means that 50 years later, here we are, 290 nature preserves, 54,000 acres protected as nature preserves throughout the state. There's a nature preserve in 71 counties in the state. So if wherever you're at, you're within a short drive of a nature preserve.
There is a lot of love for nature preserves in this topic among our listeners today. John on Facebook says, my family loves Ritchie Woods Nature Preserve in Fishers. It's a great place to see diverse plants, wildflowers, and wildlife with plenty of wooded and open prairie trails. Thanks to John. Ming on Facebook says, Indiana's nature preserves are some of the state's best-kept secrets. There are some real gems, and they're usually sparsely visited, unlike state parks. My favorite is Fall Creek Gorge in Warren County, colloquially known as the Potholes, as it has some unique geology, highlighted by the rock whirlpools and a small waterfall. It's great to visit any time of year, but especially in the fall. And David on Facebook asks, what is being done to manage the invasive species on the properties? Ron, you want to take that one?
Invasive species are a big concern of what we do. I think years ago there was a certain attitude that once we dedicate a property, you can just let it be. But over the course of time, with more invasive species coming into Indiana, we've realized that that is not the case. We have a number of staff out there in the field, and they're working hard all year round trying to keep invasive species under control and out of the nature preserves. It's a big effort because there's always new things coming in that we have to learn are here and learn how to manage and learn how to control and to keep these places as they should be.
John, when you were director of nature preserves with the DNR, what are some examples of, reasons that you had to intervene, such as invasive species and things like that?
Well, one, we need to use prescribed fire on a lot of preserves, and that's a way to keep them healthy. And some of the invasive species are not typically thought of that way. But, for instance, if you don't burn prairies or savannas, they become pretty quickly turn into thickets with cherries and sumacs and shade out the prairie plants. So that's one issue. The garlic mustard was one that wasn't really, when I started, was barely on the radar at all, and all of a sudden it really started showing up and taking over our beautiful woodlands and crowding out the native wildflowers. And bush honeysuckle is another one that, you know, in the late 70s really wasn't here so much, and now if you when you're driving down the highways and you look into the woods and you can't see into the woods, it's because they become thickets of bush honeysuckle. So it's shown how over time invasive species have really grown exponentially, and end up, if we're not careful and don't control them, we actually lose the investments we put in on saving these remnants of original Indiana.
Cliff, is there a place in Indiana that you can point to that you would say was the genesis of your advocacy for nature preserves?
Well, that's a really good question. You know, I think one of the first places I really fell in love with Indiana Nature Preserves was Schrader Weaver Nature Reserve out in Fayette County. It might have been the first old-growth forest that was not part of a larger property. It was sort of a standalone preserve that you drive through open farm, just open farmland for miles and miles. And then you pull up into a small parking lot and you walk through a fairly young forest, and then it's like the curtains are drawn and you can see the sunlight coming through the canopy, and you can almost hear, you know, the chorus behind you. It's just amazing. And it's one of those things that if you're comfortable going out and being alone in a remote area, it is just phenomenal to have that experience and to really feel at one with nature.
John, what about some of the places you worked to acquire when you were the DNR's Director of Nature Preserves? I understand Twin Swamps in Posey County was one of yours?
Right. Twin Swamps was, at one time, probably there were 30,000 or more acres of cypress in the southwest part of Indiana. And, you know, now we're down to there's basically only a handful of places left. And we did a special inventory trying to see what was still left. If you fly over a cypress in the fall and the needles turn orange, you can spot them from the air. And so the area called Twin Swamps was actually when the people that did the work for us on a little contract, they called it Unnamed Cypress Swamp because it hadn't been known by anybody. And that ended up, it's really the highest quality cypress swamp in Indiana. And the Nature Conservancy, most of it was owned by Oakland City College. And oddly enough, and had some oil wells in it, and so it reflected a lot of complex negotiating for
mostly for the Nature Conservancy to go first for us and work out the deal, whereas now it's about a full section, 640 acres or so, of a wonderful boardwalk trail that goes through this. You feel like you're in the deep south when you're in Twin Swamps. You don't really think you're in Indiana. So that was a pretty wonderful thing to have kind of helped acquire.
We are talking to the former director of the Indiana DNR Division of Nature Preserves, John Bacone, also the current director of Indiana Nature Preserves with the DNR, Ron Helmick, and the executive director of the Central Indiana Land Trust. And we are talking about Indiana's nature preserves today. And we have another example shared on Facebook of a college that owns a nature preserve. Elena on Facebook says, Mary Lee Environmental Learning Center of Goshen College is a state nature preserve. Wonderful place to hike, dip for pond critters, and explore other ecosystems like oak savannas. Really cool geological features like marl pit, peat bog, and esker as well. And John, did you ever try to acquire a preserve and it just didn't work out? And are you comfortable, I guess, sharing an example of that?
Well, I mentioned Portland Arch earlier. It's really not just a total standalone nature preserve, but there's a track there. If you saw the map for Portland Arch, there's two pieces that are connected by just a dot, and there's a 80-acre chunk that we've really been trying to acquire that since the late 60s. And unfortunately, the owners are great people, and it's not in danger of becoming, you know, converted to another use. But you always do worry that when an ownership changes and all of a sudden you might end up with a totally incompatible neighbor that could really undermine the whole project that you put together over these years. So that's one. There's a few others like that where you just keep writing letters to the owners and staying in touch and hoping someday they might, you know, decide. We don't condemn land for nature preserves. It's willing sellers only. And so you just try to build up the trust and friendship with them and make sure they understand they've got a special place. And usually, once they understand they got a special place, they don't want to harm it themselves. And so it's in a little bit of a holding pattern that way.
Ron, has it been a learning curve, you having been on the job for about a year or so now, in kind of navigating that kind of delicate balance with landowners and acquiring land?
Well, I've been with Nature Preserves for quite a while. I started way back in 1987 as a student intern and just worked at various positions through this, but I have not been in like the land acquisition part of it. And yes, there is definitely a learning curve for all the aspects of what I'm doing now. I have in partnership with the land trust, you know what they're doing, and especially the nature preserve staff. They're make things so easy for me because how much that they know and the knowledge that they have that I'm learning from them every day.
Well, and that's pretty clear whenever I visit a site as well and see how well it's cared for. We have another listener voicemail. This one is from Nancy in St. Joseph County. Let's listen.
The best place to see Trillium is in a dedicated nature preserve that is within the Bendix Woods County Park near New Carlisle in South Bend, Indiana. It's wonderful. Thanks.
Oh, thank you, Nancy. And Ron, let's talk about some of that. It is May, so there's a lot to appreciate outside. I've been on a few wildflower hikes, but I know I'm not hitting the best spots. What are some good places for wildflowers?
Well, some of the places that we've talked about already today, Portland Arch, the Schrader Weaver in East Central Indiana, Stout Woods, well, I was out to a couple of weeks ago, had an amazing display. If you want to go north, some of the places that one of our callers talked about earlier that are owned by Acres Land Trust, the Dustin Nature Reserve. If you go south in Brown County State Park, Ogle Hollow Nature Preserve, has a wonderful display. So there are many, many places that a person can go see. So if they go to our website and get different places that they want to go see, they're going to see a nice display of wildflowers.
Cliff, let's go off the beaten path. What's a good example of an underappreciated Indiana nature preserve?
Well, that's tough because I think almost all of our nature preserves in Indiana might be a little bit underappreciated because they are just so special. Let me think just for a second. Yeah, I'll tell you what. We have a really cool site in Johnson County, the Central Indiana Land Trust does. It's the Laura Hare Preserve at Blossom Hollow. And it's in this really interesting geologic area of the state where it's right where the Wisconsin ice sheet stopped around 12,000 years ago. And so when you hike through Blossom Hollow, it appears the formations there, the hills, the ravines, look a lot like, say, Brown County State Park. But the difference is it's glacial soils that have eroded back there. So there's a lot of richness in the forest and in the wildflowers, and not just the diversity of the plants, but just the number of them. It's just carpeted with herbaceous plants on the forest floor. And because of that, because there's so not just diversity, but richness, there's just a ton of birds there. And you can go there in May and June if you're ready to get up early and get there around 6:30, 7 o'clock at dawn. It is just loud. It's a cacophony of sound with all the birds singing over each other. And when you have that kind of density of native plants, then you have a large density of native insects. And with that, you have the food source to just get a lot more birds per acre than you normally would, and they can support themselves.
John, I think it's important, as long as we're talking about this, to focus on responsible visitation of nature preserves. What are some rules people need to respect?
Okay, well, the main thing is, and by the way, there's a lot of different ownerships of different nature preserves, and so a lot of the rules are set by the owners. But for the most part, if it's got a parking lot and a trail, people are just asked to stay on a trail. And most nature preserves, you're really not allowed off the trail. There are some nature preserves on state forests and state wildlife areas, though, where people can get a little bit more into bushwhacking and cross-country hiking. But that's the main rules. You're not allowed to collect anything without a permit. We don't really want people, for obvious reasons, picking the wildflowers or so on, but we do encourage scientific research so they can get permits to do things that help us get a better understanding of what is found at the preserve and how we can best manage it. That's primarily the rules. And then in a few cases, there are caves with Indiana bats, and in them, nobody's allowed in except for the bat counts that happen every other year. So they're totally closed to the public. We're just there to help provide legal protection for those wildlife, endangered wildlife species. We have a prairie. The best prairie in the state is called the German Methodist Cemetery Prairie, which is in the back of a pioneer cemetery in Lake County, Indiana, that nobody's allowed in, but you can look at it. It's surrounded by a fence, and it's just a marvelous, super rich prairie. And that particular one, though no one's allowed, you know, in it, it's so small it would be trampled and harmed pretty quickly.
Well, I am afraid that is our time for today, but I had so much fun. I want to thank our panel for a really great hour. He is the executive director of the Central Indiana Land Trust, Cliff Chapman. Thank you, Cliff.
Oh, thank you so much.
Ron Helmick is director of the Indiana DNR Division of Nature Preserves. Thanks to you, Ron.
Thank you very much, and thanks for talking with us.
And John Bacone with the Central Indiana Land Trust, thanks for your time today.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
Our producers are Drew Dodlin and Maggie Galon. Scott Cameron's our managing editor. Adam Gross is our technical director. Our podcast can be found wherever you get podcasts. We're on Twitter and Facebook at All In Indiana. I'm Matt Pelser. Thanks for listening. This is All In.